So good morning. Happy Father's Day to fathers. My wife says I need to do pleasantries more, but I'm not really good at that. So we're going to just go ahead and jump into what we're going to talk about this morning. We're in the book of Haggai or Haggai. If your name is Dalen Taylor, you'll call it Haggai. We're in the book of Haggai. And what is going on, just to understand that the understanding of Haggai is they've come back into the promised land. They were exiled for a number of years, and they come back into the promised land. And there had been a situation going on. So they have been called back into the promised land. They were exiled by the Babylonians. The Persians took over the Babylonians. King Cyrus, just to go over this stuff again, it said, you guys can go back and rebuild your temple and praise God. And so a number of them went back, and Zerubbabel led the exiles. In 537, the temple and altar were rebuilt. And so the idea was that they started rebuilding the temple and the altar right when they got back, so a year later. But then for 15 or so many or so years, they just stopped and nothing happened. They got caught up, they got comfortable. They had some other things going on around them, people come in opposition about why they stopped and all that. And then Haggai comes and says, hey, you guys need to rebuild. You need to get back on your purpose. Get your focus back. Consider your ways. Get your focus back to what God has called you to do. And so in the midst of that time, Haggai has four prophecies, really, in the book of Haggai. He came in the second year of King Darius on the first day of the sixth month, and he told them, hey, you guys, your focus is wrong. So in chapter one, we see that. Then in chapter two, he comes back, and what Pastor Dalen preached for us last Sunday, look at chapter 2, verses 1 through 9 in October. So really, they started rebuilding in September of 21. A month later, he had to come and encourage them again. Because they had people there, he said, I remember the old temple, and this don't look anything like the old temple. And so they were having opposition from within. They were dealing with some problems from within, and he had to encourage them, keep on going. So we said, all right, they're on the move now. They're making progress. And then 2 months later, here comes Haggai again to say something else to them. And what God is trying to tell them as they are rebuilding this temple, the interesting thing is they did not build it for over 15 years. If you look at the timeline in the previous slide, it says Haggai promises the rebuilding should resume in 520. By 515, the temple is complete. It took them 5 years to complete the temple. But for 15 years, they did pretty much nothing. And so you have this understanding of them rebuilding the temple and God being excited about what they're doing or God being pleased by what they are doing. And we get here to Haggai chapter 2, and we're going to start in verse 10. And God wants to remind them of something. He wants them to understand as they are rebuilding, as they are trying to go and be this new people that he's called them to be, as they are living the lives that he called them, he wants them to remember something as they are building the temple and into the years to come. And so we look at Haggai chapter 2, starting at verse 10. In Haggai chapter 2, starting at verse 10, it says, on the 24th day of the ninth month in the second year of King of Darius, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Haggai. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Ask the priests what the law says. If someone carries consecrated meat in the fold of their garment, and that fold touches some bread or stew, some wine, olive oil, or other food, does it become consecrated? And the priest answered, no. So the first thing he said, all right, now I need go ask the priest. He wants the whole group that there to have an understanding of a mindset. He said, ask the priest a simple question. So what they would do, they would have consecrated meat and they'd put it in their fold. And so they had their outerwear would fold over and they can actually keep it in there. And so what happens is that consecrated meat inside of that fold, inside of that garment, made the garment holy to a certain extent. And so the idea is that while it was in this garment almost became consecrated as well. He says, now if that garment touches something, do those things become consecrated? If that garment touches another piece of food or something like that, does that then become consecrated? And the priest said, no. You can't transfer holiness that way. You can't do it that way. And what he was trying to explain to them, he was like, so you have to understand something. So their idea was, now we're in Jerusalem. We're back in our home country. We're in this place, this proximity. This place is holy. Just by being here, everything should be holy. And he was like, it doesn't work that way. Oh, well, we have the altar. So we're sacrificing on this altar. So now that we're sacrificing, now that we're doing these actions, everything around here should be holy. And he says, no, it doesn't work that way. You see, the idea, they wanted to be in the proximity. Just being in the proximity makes it good. Just doing certain things makes it good. And God said, it doesn't work that way. Just because this place is holy doesn't mean that you are going to be holy. Just because this thing is sacred doesn't mean that when you are around it, that you become sacred. That's not how this works. That's not how this goes on, but they were under the understanding that because we're in Jerusalem, everything is good. You know, it's kind of like, I don't know, you've seen movies before, but because Michael Jordan wore those sneakers, when I put them on my feet, I can fly too. This idea that because this was connected to something else, if it's now connected to me, then all of a sudden I have everything that has. You know, it's Father's Day. And a lot of times fathers will say, well, as long as I created the environment for them, as long as I put them in a house and the house is nice, or put them in a good neighborhood and the neighborhood is nice, or have them be close to a church and that church is good. Well, since I created that, and since that's what's going on around them, everything will be good for my family. Just because I'm around things that are good, it'll automatically be good for my family. And God says, it doesn't work like that. He said, but on the other hand, and this is interesting, it goes, then Haggai said, if a person defiled by contact with a deadly body touches one of these things, does it become defiled? Yes, the priest replied, it becomes defiled. Then Haggai said, so it is with the people and this nation in my sight, declares the Lord. Whatever they do, whatever they offer, there is defiled. Interesting, every time I read this, I would always go to a certain thing. I was like, oh, he's comparing apples to apples. But he's like, no. You see, this one thing was an inanimate object. If you touch the fold, and then it doesn't make anything holy. He's like, so it's not in your proximity, but guess what? You can cause problems. This thing doesn't make it holy, but you can defile everything around here. What you do affects other people in the wrong way. But this nice stuff won't affect them in a good way. Some people said, you know, you can have a person who is healthy and a person who is sick. The healthy person really can't make the other person healthy just by being around them. But that sick person can make the healthy person sick. He said, see, the understanding is you have a role in this. You see, Father, you want to create this great place for your kids to be, this great home environment around all these good things, but each and every day you are touching something that is defiled. Each and every day you're drinking. Each and every day you're doing something, you're being selfish, you're doing something, and you don't realize that just because you're around these nice things doesn't negate what you are bringing in to that family. See, what you bring in destroys everything. I don't care if you're around nice things. I don't care if it's if everything around you looks good. You have a role. You bring something defiled into this, and you will defile everything. You can't sit back. It's not just about what you do or where you are. It's who you are that affects the community. You see, their selfishness, that they didn't make the temple, it defiled everything that they did. They were coming to bring sacrifices, and God was like, I don't care about that sacrifice. Your hearts are wrong. They were trying to work the land. He was like, this land ain't gonna work for you because you are defiled. You may be in a nice place, but you're defiled and you are having an impact on everything around you. Get your mind right. See, a lot of times we want to be around nice things as if it'll just come on to us and make us good. But God said that outside stuff is not doing anything on the inside. You have to be changed inside. And when you're changed, it will affect everyone else. That outside stuff don't affect you, but you can affect everyone else. You, who you are, affects what you do. And so he goes and he tries to encourage them on this. Now think about this. And then he goes to this next part and he says, now give careful thought to this from this day on. Consider how things were before one stone was laid on another at the Lord's temple. When anyone came to a heap of 20 measures, there were only 10. When anyone went to a wine vat to draw 50 measures, there were only 20. I struck all the work of your hands with blight, mildew, and hail, yet you did not return to me, declares the Lord. From this day on, from this 24th day of the ninth month, give careful thought to the day when the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid. Give careful thought. Is there yet any seed left in the barn until now? The vine and the fig tree, the pomegranate and the olive tree have not borne fruit. From this day on, I will bless you. He said, now listen, all that stuff you were doing in the past, it didn't get you anywhere. You were doing things out of their selfish needs. You were trying to take care of yourself and didn't care about me at all. But now take notice, when you put me first, when you allow yourselves to be cleansed from the inside out, when you do this, when you repent. So the understanding is, when you're defiled, you got to go wash yourself. You can't just come defiled. There's a cleansing process before you're able to come and be in contact with other people, because if you're not clean, everything else around you gets defiled, right? And so the idea is that you're supposed to go, you're supposed to be cleansed, and then you can come. And so God said, because of what Haggai has done, because now your minds have changed, see what happens now that your minds are right. It's not just your acts, but your minds, your souls are cleansed. They said that the understanding is that they turned from their wicked ways and came and did what was right, good in the sight of God. Now see what happens when you start getting back on the plan of God. See if your storehouses don't overflow. All these things that's been going on wrong with you, now see. He said it's not because it's the consequence. It's a natural consequence from following me. You've been trying to do all these actions and not follow me, and it hasn't gotten you anywhere. If you follow me and put me first and these actions come out of it, everything else will work. It's a natural consequence of following him. You see, what he was trying to help them to understand was this simple point. They were content with the rituals over righteousness. They were content with proximity over presence, with the altar over the temple. You see, they were content with rituals. Hey, I'm just gonna go sacrifice real quick. Go do my little sacrifice that should please God. I can do what I wanna do every other day of the week, but I'm just gonna go do this sacrifice. I'm just gonna go do this one thing that he said I need to do, and that should be good. Because as long as that happens, that was makes everything holy, right? Because I'm just giving that sacrifice. I'm not going in there feeling really guilty. I just know this is what I need to do on this day. I don't know about you. I remember it wasn't too long ago. I wish it was much longer ago. But I'm a Philadelphia Eagles fan, a football fan. You can shake your head all you want, Michael Robinson, but this is a good thing. I'm a Philadelphia Eagles fan. And I remember I used to sit there and think to myself, now listen, if I go to church on Sunday and I do what I'm supposed to do, I'll go home and they'll win. You know what I'm saying? Like, all I'm supposed to do is do this little thing, and then everything right is supposed to go right in my life. My heart's not supposed to change. I'm not supposed to worry about really what God wants. I'm just here to do this so my team will win. I'm here to go to church and do some things so that I can be blessed when I leave here. If I go to church, my car will work when I get out. You know, these things are things. I'm just supposed to do this act, and all of a sudden, all these great things are supposed to happen. It's not about me caring about what God wants. It's about me getting something out of this relationship. See, I just want the ritual. Because this ritual is supposed to make everything okay. And he says, it don't work like that. He says, I just want the proximity. I don't want the presence. I want the altar, but not the temple. The temple is where God is supposed to dwell. He's like, I'd rather just do the sacrifice and you can dwell somewhere else. I don't want to be in your presence because that presence is going to convict me. I don't want to be convicted Monday through Friday through Saturday. I don't really want to be convicted on those days. I just want to come on Sunday and just do my little due diligence and then be okay for the rest. He said, it doesn't work like that. They worried about building their own houses, and all of a sudden, they worried about building their own houses, doing everything else that God didn't want them to do, but they said, but we're in the promised land, so we're good. He said, it doesn't work like that. That stuff can't make you good, but you can destroy everything else around here. You see, God wants our hearts, not over our sacrifice. In Hosea 6:6, it says, for I desire steadfast love, not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. Psalms 51:16 through 17 says, you do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. You, God, will not despise. He says, it's not about the sacrifice. It's about you. How are you being transformed? It's not about the ritual. It's about the person doing the ritual. It's about your heart when you come in to ask for forgiveness. It's about your heart when you give the sacrifice. You see, the sacrifice was supposed to, the funny thing about sacrifice is that it was an understanding that you would go to the altar, you would have to cut up this animal, whatever, it'd be blood all over the place. It would be a horrible experience. It'd be like your favorite calf, you coming up there, and it's supposed to make you feel the impact of what you did or what you need to do. It was supposed to change you from this understanding was supposed to be hard for you, but what we did is like, I can just do that. Not feel the pain of what it means to bring this. Not feel any of that. If I can let me just get done with the act. I'm not trying to be in the act. I'm just trying to have the act be outside of my body and hope that everything else is going to be okay. He said, that's not what this is about. This is about you being changed. Because he wants to use us to bless the world. Not the ritual. The people. They can build this great temple. And he said, this great temple will be defiled because your hands are all messed up. You're trying to clean something with dirty hands. It doesn't work. I want you, not the ritual. I want you. He says, God wants righteousness over rituals. To do righteous and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Those who walk righteously and speak what is right, who reject gain from extortion and keep their hands from accepting bribes, who stop the ears against plots of murder and shut their eyes against contemplating evil, They are the ones who will dwell in the heights, whose refuge will be the mountain's fortress. Their bread will be supplied, and water will not fail them. He said, it's not the ones who just do the regular sacrifices. It's the ones whose hearts are on what God wants. It's the ones who look to walk in righteousness. Those are the ones that the understanding, the blessing is supposed to come for to. He says, you guys keep on wanting to do these rituals. You guys keep on wanting these outside things, but you don't want to know me. When we think about this, he says, they were building the temple. They were building this temple, and it was great, and it was great for them. And the understanding of them building the temple, they need to have the right mindset to build the temple. But we talked about this before. God has called us into community to be a part of building his church. We read this last week, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Don't you know that you yourself are God's temple and that God's spirit dwells in your midst? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is sacred, and you together are that temple. And last week, we talked about part of this. We talked about how you yourselves are God's temple. You have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. But I want you to understand something. That's just not all that this is talking about. For God's temple is sacred, and you what? Together are that temple. You together are that temple. So what does that mean? We have to be in community with one another for this temple to be right. And so it's very, very interesting. You know, we can be like, oh, well, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, or I'm making this act. He was like, no, that's not how this works. It's the understanding of you guys doing things together. That's how this temple is supposed to be built. And so he asked us the same question. Go to that next slide. Consider our ways. Are we content with the rituals over righteousness? Are we content with saying we're a part of a church? Are we content with coming here on Sunday, saying, how you doing, brother? How you doing, sister? Having this 5 to 10, depending on who's preaching, minute sermon, 15, having this hour and a half type thing, and then leaving and feeling like we've done something. And God said, that's not what I've called you to do. Is it okay? I think sometimes we believe that it's about us. You see, we think those guys in the past are doing that temple thing, now they were selfish, but we're not selfish. But we do things where we create an environment when it's all about us. It's a movie starring us, featuring us, directed by us, and everyone else is just extras that can come and go however they please. And God said, that's not what my temple is at. That's not what this is about. We think that because we do certain things that we become holy. He was like, but if you're not coming with the right mindset into this temple, into this church, then you can defile even this thing that you're coming in contact with. Your mindset has to be a certain way. Do we have defiled hands? 1 John chapter 4, verse 20, whoever claims to love God yet hates his brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command, anyone who loves God must also love their brother and their sister. So you guys can come and do these rituals, but you don't love one another, that don't make you holy. You can come in here and you can sing together, but y'all don't love one another? It's not proximity. You don't get to be holy that way. Your minds have to be changed before you come in here. your understanding of that you are part of a body and you're supposed to love your brother. You can't love God and hate your brother. You see, sometimes people are like, I'm just doing my thing. I'm going to do my ritual. I'm going to give my sacrifice. I ain't got to worry about nobody else. He said, but that's not holy. That's not how this works. You are called into community. Matthew 5, 23 through 24, therefore, if you are offering a gift at the altar and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them, then come and offer your gift. He was like, listen, y'all think y'all, because y'all come here and y'all give altars and y'all give your sacrifices and y'all give to the church, whatever you're going to do, you think that was what makes it okay. And he's like, I don't care about that stuff. If y'all not loving your brothers and sisters, if y'all not doing what you're called to do, if you're not being a father, if you're just out there saying that you are a father, but you're not involved in your kids' lives at all, you're not involved in people's lives at all, that word means nothing to me. There's no power in being a father if you're not actively being a part of it. There's no power in saying that you are a Christian if you're not actively doing what God's called us to do. There's no power in just coming to church if your hearts and minds aren't about being on what God's called you to do. If your mind's not on what his business is, none of this matters. It doesn't make you holy. You're not checking off something and said, oh, I did that today, I get this extra coin. He said, none of that stuff matters if your hearts are defiled, if your minds are defiled. You're even defiling that church you're going to. You're not going to see the blessing. It's not going to work out right because your attitude is wrong. Stop wanting just to do sacrifices. Stop waiting just to be in proximity. Allow him to change your heart. And then things will happen. Allow him to do the work. I don't know if any of us have defiled hands right now, but I do know this. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Because of what Christ did, if we confess our sins, he'll purify us. The interesting thing about this God in this temple is that they were doing all these things wrong, and yet he still kept talking to them. I want y'all to get right. I want y'all to get right. I want y'all to experience what it's like to have barn houses that are overflowing with grain. I want y'all to feel what it's like to have blessings that are overflowing. I'm going to tell you what I need you to do so that you can experience the blessings that I've called for you to experience. He's telling us, are our motives right? Are our hearts right? Are we just trying to be in proximity, or do we want his presence? Are we wanting righteousness, or do we just want to do rituals? He's calling us to a deeper understanding of who he is. He's calling us to be changed from the inside out. He's saying, consider your ways, not what you do, but why you do it. Take your time. Understand what God wants. Line that up, and then all these other things, these rituals, these things will have full meaning in your life. He's telling them, now listen, y'all didn't build this temple for 15 years. Y'all got distracted. Y'all thought that y'all were cool because y'all were in Jerusalem, and I took away all your grain. So even though this is the promise and holy land, nothing worked here. I need you to understand it doesn't work unless your minds are right. unless your hearts are right. I'm after you. I'm not after the blessing of these plans. I'm after you because I need you to be my witness. I need you to help build this temple. I'm here for your hearts because through you, he wants to show his glory to the world. Can't just be about these little actions and rituals that we do. He's called us to something much deeper than that. He's called us to relationship. He's called us to righteousness. He's called for our hearts and minds to be changed and molded to his. And you can't do that from the outside. It's got to come in. It's got to touch your heart. You can't do it by thinking that you are something. I remember I used to think because my dad was really good at electronics that somehow I was real good at electronics. And I would try to do stuff in my friend's house. They'd be like, you have no idea what you're doing. I was like, yeah, but my dad's good. I should be able to do this good. And he was like, that's not how this works. You have to stir something up. You have to be called in accordance. You have to line yourselves up with the Lord to experience the blessings, to experience what he's called you to be, to see that great promise and that great purpose fulfilled, not just in your life, but in the areas, in the communities, in the places that you are going to inhabit. That place don't make you sacred. God makes you sacred, and he wants to use you to bless others. Can we all bow our heads? Father God, Lord, we come before you, Lord, confessing and asking for forgiveness for the times that we tried to make what we do dictate who we are versus allowing you to transform us from the inside out so that the things that we do are in accordance with who you are and that your plan, your spirit, your peace, your comfort would overflow. Father God, Lord, we confess the times when we make it about us and not about you. And we ask that through the powerful work of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, that you would cleanse us, that you would mold us, that you would create in us a new heart, that we may live in accordance with your will and be a part of building this great temple where your presence dwells and watch how the community is transformed by you. We state these things in Jesus' name as we all say, amen.